From Buck's studio at Wisconsin Public Radio, this is Zorba Pastor on Your Health. I'm Rob Ferret, sitting in for Tom Clark, and I'm here with Family Doc Zorba Pastor, here to talk with you about what's new in healthy living, share down-to-earth advice, and great lifestyle tips to help you get the most out of life. If you have a question, the number to call is 1-800-462-7413. And along with your calls, we have some topics to talk about, Zorba.
Right. We're going to talk about exercise versus surgery when it comes to a knee meniscus injury. Some really important information, a study that came out of the British Medical Journal that I think is sort of mind-boggling, certainly in my frame of mind. And we're going to talk about the DEA decided to keep marijuana on the list of dangerous drugs. Right next to heroin and LSD. What does that mean for research? What does that mean to us? What does that mean ultimately for pain medicine? What does it sort of mean to society? And what do I think about that?
Well, a lot to talk about there, and a recipe today, Zorba.
Yes, chipotle and avocado bean wrap. If you like beans, if you like chipotle, if you like Mexican food, this is something you can make at home that I think you will love.
I am looking forward to that. To the phones we go now at 1-800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. Our first caller joins us from Kissimmee, Florida. Hi.
Hi.
What can we help you with?
I had a question for the doctor. Every once in a while, my hand goes numb, and what scared the living daylight out of me was about 3 times already in the past 2 months. My hand feels like it's grabbed in the ice-cold vice grip, and it goes numb real quick from the elbow to the tip of my fingers. And the only way I seem to be able to get rid of that feeling and start getting feeling back in my hands is if I pop my elbow, I start moving my fingers real quick.
Your hand feels like it's an ice. You can pop your elbow and make it feel better. Does it happen on the job or anything like that?
That's what happens. It happens on the job.
But what is your job?
I'm a truck driver.
A truck driver.
Uh-huh. Truck driver. Your hands are on the wheel all the time, moving the gears.
I hope they're on the wheel all the time.
Stuff. Exactly. You hope they're on the wheel all the time. Exactly. There are a couple of things that actually come to mind that are important. There's carpal tunnel syndrome, and there also is something that can occur with the ulnar nerve. But let's talk about what that is. So carpal tunnel syndrome is the carpal bones are a bunch of bones that are in your wrist. And when you're holding something very tight and you're doing it all the time, sometimes that wrist can push on the nerve. The nerve can then fire incorrectly, and basically you get swelling within this tunnel, and the swelling pushes on the nerve, and all of a sudden, bang, you get discomfort. It can be hot. It can be cold, it can be numbness, it can be tingling. The same can also occur along the funny bone. The funny bone is really a nerve that travels very superficially along your elbow. So is this your left arm or the right arm?
Left arm.
The left arm.
Left
okay.
arm. Okay.
So when you're in your rig, where does your left elbow go? Does it lean on the door rest? Where is it leaning? What's it going on?
Right on the armrest.
Right on the armrest. Okay. So I've got a couple of very quick suggestions that may work. What I would do is I would take a towel, terry cloth towel, put it on the armrest so that basically the elbow is now resting on something that is softer, more cushiony than you actually have in that hard armrest, because you may actually be causing discomfort from the superficial nerve that's in the elbow. That is not uncommon. And sometimes that in and of itself will solve the problem. Very easy fix. So that's what I would try right away. Some people actually will put something on their elbow themselves. They'll go to the drugstore and actually put a little elbow kind of cushiony thing. But I much prefer simply putting a terry cloth towel right on there and see if that works. The other thing is you can buy wrist splints if it's just carpal tunnel and it's not from the ulnar nerve that's there, that's along the elbow. If it's just carpal tunnel, then you can buy wrist splints, in a drugstore. But I think I just try putting a towel in there. I think it's from the rig and from resting your elbow on the door. This can be very bothersome, you know, because you're in your rig. How many hours a day are you in the rig?
Well, let's put it this way. I leave the house, and I'm usually out about 2 to 3 months at a time.
Wow. 2 to 3 months? What do you haul? What sort of stuff do you haul?
Just about everything.
Everything. And you must be all over the country.
Yes, sir.
Right, well, and do you get out? You get out and get the wiggles out, you know, like the kids do? Because you're sitting in one position, right, a long time.
Yes, I do. I drive for about 3-4 hours, 5 hours. I get out, walk around, then I start driving again for another 4 to 6 hours.
Wow.
It's very hard. That's very important to do. We have a lot of truck drivers, a lot of truckers listen to us. You guys bring the stuff around the country that we consume. You're great. Try the towel and see if it works.
Get that towel, and good luck.
I will try it. Thank you very much.
That's a unique job, Zorba, and there's a lot of specific health concerns that seem to apply to people who drive trucks.
Absolutely. First of all, you've got obesity because you sit in the truck, you're bored, you eat. We eat because it gives us pleasure. We don't exercise. Our back can hurt us. There's seat problems, and basically it's a ritualized behavior. Think about it. You're sitting there in one way, and here it is. Our gentleman is sitting there with his arm and his wrist in a very static position, not the way we're designed to be all the time, and this is a result of that. So good luck, and hopefully he will get better.
Yeah, to quote the Doors, keep your eyes on the road, your hands upon the wheel, and your elbow upon the towel. If you have a question for Zorba, call in now at 1-800-462-7413. Zorba, you are excited about some new research on knees. Exercise versus surgery.
Well, it's a very interesting article. The article came out of the British Medical Journal, BMJ, great journal. This is a great study. So they took a group of people, there are about 150 people, put them into two different groups. So let's look at the people first. So these were people who had a meniscus injury. The meniscus is sort of the plastic, the buffer, the cushion that's in your knee, and it had degenerated. So it was not traumatic. In other words, they didn't have an injury, baseball injury, ski injury or something. They just had a meniscus injury where they felt a little wobbly, their leg was a little swollen. They had a BMI average of about 26, so they were a little bit overweight, but they were not massively overweight. They were 50 years of age and older, okay? So they weren't younger. They were middle-aged. Their x-ray did not show definitive arthritis. In other words, at 50, everyone's got a little bit, but there was no definitive arthritis. So it was a non-arthritic knee in 50-year-old men and women where they had degeneration of the meniscus. Okay, that's a very important part. That's a lot of people, by the way, a lot of people. Half were given the usual treatment. We'll go in with an arthroscopy, taper it off. We'll shave off the little cartilage. We'll clean up the knee, wash out the debris, see how you do, okay? Afterwards, we'll give
so
you...
that's a surgery.
Yeah, very, very... It's day surgery, very common. You do a little exercise before the surgery. Afterwards, you do physical therapy, okay? The other group, they said, we're not going to do it that way. What we're going to do is we're going to put you in an intensive exercise program. Not super intensive, but intensive. You're going to meet with an exercise group at least 2 days a week, but preferably 3 days a week for 10 weeks, okay? So 3 days a week, you're going to exercise your knee. That's more than the usual exercise for 10 weeks. We're going to measure what's going on. So at 3 months, they did a few measurements. They looked at pain. They looked at ability to do things. Go back to your sport, and how do you function at home? No difference between the two groups. The group that did not have surgery had stronger thigh muscles at 3 months, okay?
Well, they've been doing the exercise.
They've been doing the exercise. They did more, and they didn't have surgery. When you do surgery, it immediately drops the ability, you know, the strength in your knee. So at 3 months, the exercise group was actually better because their strength was better and no difference. At 1 year and at 2 years, there was absolutely no difference between the exercise group and the surgery group. So the outcome was the same.
So if I'm in that situation, my knee hurts, maybe I'm a patient thinking, well, my knee hurts. I don't want to do a bunch of exercise. Get me the surgery, fix me, and have it be done. It sounds like I might be wrong.
Yeah, and there are other issues. About 20% of the people over the two-year period ended up needing arthroscopy. Okay, so some of them got worse. They were not successful. That's it. But it actually shows that if you have a non-traumatic knee injury, a non-traumatic, rather, meniscus injury, mm-hmm. Your meniscus is not working, shown in an MRI scan, you've got a couple of alternatives. If you don't have arthritis, you can say, I don't want the surgery. I want intensive exercise. That's a great alternative. Most people don't say, hey, I want surgery. You know, that is the vast minority. They don't say, hey, I want it fixed right away. And they shouldn't say that because they have to recover from the surgery. In other words, this has shown that at 3 months, you're actually better off not having the surgery. Now, the real question that came up in the editorials is, why haven't we known this before? In other words, why haven't we been looking at this head on prior to this? Because it turns out there are billions of dollars spent on these surgeries. And the answer was because we haven't studied it. Why haven't we studied it? Surgery things are not studied nearly as well as medical devices and pills that we're actually doing it. I think this is a monumental study.
Big picture, Zorba, this is just one particular type of injury.
But
there a general lesson here that, hey, these surgeries that we're taking as the plan A in a lot of cases, we should be studying them, reevaluating them.
Right. And the other thing is, if you're thinking about surgery, what you should also say, is there a non-surgical conservative treatment that can work as well when it comes to something that is orthopedic surgery? I think this is going to change the number of arthroscopies we're doing. It's not going to get rid of them. Arthroscopy is great. It really helps a lot of people get back to their sport and their work. But hey, conservative is always better if it works as well.
Back to our callers now at 1-800-462-7413. If you have a question for Zorba, the number 1-800-462-7413. We go now, Zorba, to La Crescent, Minnesota. Hi.
Hello, Zorba. I'm excited you're taking my call today.
Well, how can Zorba help you out today?
Well, I've got a story about Morton's neuroma and just need a little bit of advice. I played high-impact sports through school, and now I'm always on my feet and a hospital job. So several years ago, I had pain near my toes and just was difficult to walk. So they took me in, they did an x-ray, and they found Morton's neuroma. They gave me a cortisone injection, and that helped a lot. It really took the pain away, and I haven't had that discomfort since. But my toes are displaced to the point where kind of looks like the salute there from Star Trek. That
so your toes want you to live long and prosper.
Yes, that's right. It's the Vulcan salute that they're doing down there. And
Image. I wonder what Mr. Spock's toes look like. I don't think we ever saw that We never saw that on TV or in the movies.
Didn't stick with me if we did. So, I mean, it's lovely that your toes are wishing you well in this way, but it doesn't sound comfortable. And I guess sandal weather, you're not excited about this?
Well, it's not comfortable, and my shoes don't fit well. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering about the ongoing ramifications of having Morton's. Can they go out? Can they be further displaced? Is there something I can do to bring them back, some kind of device? And I don't really want to do surgery, or should I just live with it?
So Morton's neuroma, Zorba, toes all over the place, right. Vulcan foot salutes. What does she do with this?
Well, Morton's neuroma is where you've got a swelling of the nerve, usually between the second and third, sometimes between the third and the fourth toe, and it swells up and it hurts. And it's painful. Mm-hmm. And it's a clinical diagnosis. You squeeze the area, you look at it, you know where the nerve is. And cortisone usually is quite successful. And if that fails and you still have pain between the toes, they actually remove the nerve. They take it, remove the nerve, cut it. It doesn't work. You've got numbness there. But that's better than the pain. So high-impact sports, what were those high-impact sports? Soccer? What were you doing? Volleyball?
Well, I played racquetball, mm-hmm. and I skied a little bit, squeezed my feet into those tight boots, and tennis, mm-hmm. a lot of racket sports.
Okay. And you've gone to a podiatrist, right or wrong?
I have gone to a podiatrist. Mm-hmm. And she gave me that injection, and she diagnosed it by an x-ray and by symptoms.
So you really have two general choices. First of all, you live with it or you have surgery. So those are the general sources. How do you live with it? Well, you live with it by looking for the right shoes. And that means going to a good shoe store and getting fit right. And if the shoe doesn't fit, you bring it back. The other issue is you go to a podiatrist, sometimes one or two, and get a second opinion. And you say, I want to have surgery. What are the results of the surgery? How extensive is it? How laid up am I going to be? Because the surgery is extensive. And then if you have a question about it, you ask the podiatrist or the orthopedic surgeon. A lot of orthopedic surgeons also do foot surgery. Can I speak to somebody else who's had the surgery? Can I talk to somebody who's had it? Do you have a patient who you can ask about? And quite often, they'll think of somebody, they'll contact them, and if that person is happy with the surgery, you can talk to them because it's extensive enough and bothersome enough so that people often want to talk to somebody, and that'll help you make that decision. So,
and you were leaning against surgery, it sounds like. I mean, is the discomfort bad enough that if you got good reviews on the surgery, you might consider it?
I guess my biggest concern is if they got more, if the Morton's neuroma grew.
No, the Morton's is not. The Morton's neuroma can be fixed. In other words, you take out the nerve, it's done. That's it. You don't have to. The Morton's is a simple surgical procedure, as I said, left with a bit of numbness. So that can be, that's fine. That surgical procedure, if it comes back, I would highly recommend. But the issue is the abnormalities of the toes when you've got what's called a swan neck deformity, where it goes off to the right or the left, depending on the foot, off to the side. Hammer toes, they can be fixed too. They often work better, and they have a lot to do with the fitness and the ability. Do you still engage in sports?
I swim now.
Okay. Well, swimming, you don't have to worry about your foot. So that's you kind of have to fit this together with what it is in the pain. The Morton's, though, can be fixed with surgery. I highly recommend it. The real issue is they have to break the bones in the toes, and they have to reset them. And Rob is now cringing.
I'm cringing. Not going to lie.
Broken toes, and we're going to show a picture of Rob on the website.
Actually cringing. So. Well, you've got some food for thought there. Live long and prosper in the meantime, and good luck.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you taking my call.
All right. Well, thank you for your call at 1-800-462-7413. Before we take a quick break, Zorba, let's check in with your favorite do-gooders, the Grammar Police. The following email, Zorba, comes to us from a listener named Oliver. He writes, "Dear Dr. Zorba, on a recent recipe you called for crumpled feta cheese, which warrants a citation from the Grammar Police Vocabulary Squad." Not them again. Crumpling, he writes, is what you do to newspaper in order to get a fire going. So that's crumpling. Also, one might crumple up in pain after getting a kickball to the groin. Feta cheese, on the other hand, is crumbled. I don't know if you're crumpled versus crumbled. But Oliver goes on, "Many thanks for your show and for giving us Grammar Police solid job security. Sincerely, Oliver, a listener since childhood and fourth grade victim of a kickball to the groin." So he has crumpled, not crumbled, with pain.
Thank you very much, Oliver. But I really wonder if you're really just being crumpy.
And that's future fodder for the Grammar Police listeners. Does Zorba make mistakes?
You feta believe it.
I'm sorry.
All right, just post
it to Facebook or send us an email to
Zorba@wbr.org. Did we say Facebook?
We'll say it again. The Zorba Pastor Facebook, on Your Health Facebook page.
Facebook.
Crumple up that newspaper. Go online. Our recipe is coming up along with more of your calls and another interesting topic to discuss right here on Zorba Pastor on Your Health from PRX, the Public Radio Exchange. Barrett here, sitting in for Tom Clark with Zorba Pastor on Zorba Pastor on Your Health. Our number again is 1-800-462-7413 if you have a question for the good doc. But before we get back to our callers, Zorba, tell us about our recipe today, chipotle and avocado bean wrap. First of all, chipotle or chipotle?
Well, that's it.
We'll leave that to the grammar police. Right.
That's right. Or the restaurant. We can leave it to the restaurant police. Either one of them. You like avocado? Do you like avocados?
I really like avocados a lot.
How old were you when your mother first had you taste an avocado?
My mother never had me taste an avocado.
Neither did my mother. Tell me where you were when you tasted your first avocado. Think back to avocado land.
I must have been in my 20s. Maybe it was guac or a friend. You know, I think a friend cut up avocados and put it on. on top of some eggs.
Yeah, no, that's it. I was in college, and I said, what is this?
What is that?
And they said, and it was a friend from California, said, avocado. And I said, what's an avocado? And he pulled it on. I said, that's? Really? That's an avocado? And, I mean, they never sold it in the grocery stores where I was in Chicago.
Either.
I mean, they, I don't know, you know, if they couldn't get them there, but they probably did in the Hispanic grocery stores.
They're all over the place now.
Now, my grandchild, Bella, who is the most beautiful, beautiful grandchild ever born in the world throughout time.
Goes without saying.
My daughter-in-law, Luisa, is Brazilian. And one of the first foods that you give your child in Brazil when you're giving them a food is avocado. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense because it's smushy. You can put it all over your mouth. You can wipe it all over your face. It's a fun food to eat. And so, you know, she'll know avocado, you know, as like Gerber's baby cereal and avocado.
That was one of the first foods we gave our kids,
too. Is avocado?
Along with, you know what else?
What?
Raw tofu.
Raw tofu.
I know everybody around here is a big
tofu
fan. Yeah. Kids love, you know, they still eat the raw tofu. That's a good backup food. Avocado.
They still eat raw tofu?
Yeah, but they're not so much into the avocado.
No kidding.
But it'll come back.
Yeah, it'll come back. Yeah, once they get to college.
Oh, hey, look, there's a recipe.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, chipotle and avocado bean dip. So, start out a bean wrap. That's right.
So, we're going to wrap this.
Although you could probably use it as a dip.
I would.
The wrap.
I'd happily use this as a dip.
So, start out with 2 tablespoonfuls of apple cider vinegar.
That's 2 big T cider vinegar.
Mm-hmm. Apple cider vinegar. Tablespoonful of canola oil.
Big T canola oil.
And olive oil would be fine, too. 2 teaspoons of finely chopped canned chipotle chilies in adobo sauce.
2 little T finely chopped canned chipotle chilies in adobo sauce.
Now, do you have those on your shelf?
I don't. I would have to go out and pick
but
those up.
But you should.
A
1/4 teaspoon of salt.
1/4 little T salt. That's just a pinch of salt.
Mm-hmm. 2 cups of shredded red cabbage. If you're lazy, you can buy the coleslaw red cabbage in the plastic container.
I'll grab my
plastic bag in there.
2 cups shredded red cabbage.
Right. Medium carrot shredded.
1 shredded medium carrot.
Once again, if you're lazy, you can buy that in a prepackaged amount.
Never.
1/4 cup of fresh cilantro. If you're a cilantro lover, if not, then use 1/4 cup of parsley.
Oh, okay. But I'm going to use 1/4 cup of fresh cilantro
so
chopped.
So you are a cilantro
I like
lover.
Cilantro. I know some people, I don't, maybe it's a genetic thing. It tastes like soap, some people say.
I think it is genetic. So if you make this in your house and you have to ask people if you're having company over, do you like cilantro or not?
And
you go with the minimum person. If there's anyone who doesn't like cilantro, use parsley.
If there's anybody who doesn't like cilantro, they can go hungry.
A 15-ounce can of white beans rinsed.
1 15-ounce can of rinsed white beans.
So what white beans would you use?
Maybe cannellini. What are the cannellini?
Cannellini would be good.
Yeah, I'd use those.
Navy beans, small navy beans, large navy beans. You could use any beans you want to. The issue, though, is rinsing them because basically it gets off the muck that's out the outside, and you will tend to have less gas if you rinse your beans.
Less gas if you
rinse
the beans.
And, you know, gas is always an issue when it comes to beans, regardless. And as you get older, gas becomes more of an issue because the organ that keeps the gas within the body, other than letting the gas toot out, tend to become a little bit more relaxed.
You've got everybody's appetite going full tilt here, Sorba.
It's older. Well, we always have to discuss gas in our society. Okay, one ripe avocado.
One ripe avocado, and they should be a little mushy.
That's
not
right.
Super mushy.
A little mushy.
A little mushy.
1/2 cup of shredded sharp cheddar cheese, or if you like any other cheese you like, Monterey Jack would be good, but a shredded sharp cheddar I think is excellent.
1/2 cup shredded sharp cheddar cheese.
2 tablespoons of minced red onions.
2 big T minced red onions.
If you don't have red onions, any onion will be fine. And you want to use 4, 8, you know, those 10-ounce whole wheat wraps or other tortilla that you want to have. A flour tortilla would be fine.
So 4 tortillas, whole wheat wraps. 8-10 inches, say.
So let's make a deal. Whisk the vinegar, the oil, chipotle, chilies, and salt in a medium bowl. Then add the cabbage, carrot, cilantro, or parsley. Toss it to combine. Then mash in another bowl. Mash the beans and the avocado in a nice medium bowl with a little potato masher or a fork. Stir in the cheese and the onion, and then you assemble the wraps. And what you do is you spread 1/2 cup of the bean avocado mixture onto the wrap or the tortilla. Top with about 2/3 of a cup of the cabbage, carrot, coleslaw wrap. Roll it up. Repeat with the remaining ingredients. Cut the wraps in half. Serve it. I highly recommend that you serve it maybe with a Mexican beer that you
Sounds
like,
good.
Maybe with a little lime on there. Put on some music that you want to have. If it's the evening time, maybe some candlelight and maybe something good on the tube.
And I noticed at no point here have I turned on a stove or an oven. So this is a great hot day recipe.
Yeah, it's a hot day recipe. It's also easy.
Day.
And something that's nice about it, it's something that you can make in advance. In other words, you may assemble it acutely somebody is there. Keep it in there. People come. It takes a minute or 2 minutes. You just put it on and assemble it. And there's something nice about assembling something, bringing it to the table with good cheer and good company that makes you feel good. Now, I've got a secret. If you want a copy of this recipe, there's somewhere you can go.
Where is that?
Your
this
smart
is a secret.
Your
this
smartphone.
Is...
Your smartphone. Uh-huh. ZorbaPastor.org. You can get this recipe, other recipes. You can see photos. You can get other things that you want to see. You can learn all about the world. You can live a long, sweet life if you go to ZorbaPastor.org. Or don't forget, find us through Facebook.
Back to the phones we go at 1-800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. Joining us now is a listener in Amherst, Wisconsin. Hi.
Hi. How are you today?
Well, we're doing pretty good. What did you want to ask Dr. Zorba about?
Well, I have been trying to be more healthy, more conscious, and my recent result is restless leg syndrome. And I'm just frustrated. So I was hoping to get some pointers on what I might do to manage it.
And can you describe for us, we've heard of restless leg syndrome here on the Zorba Pastor on Your Health show, but how is it working for you? What's happening?
You know, I'm trying to exercise like an hour, 6 days a week. I got this idea from the book Younger Next Year. I'm in my 60s. And so what's happening is when I go to bed, I can't. I just need to move my legs. I need to stretch them. I'm lying down and I'm relaxed and I've had a full day and a glass of red wine and I'm ready to sleep and I need to move my legs.
Okay. So, how long has this gone on since you exercise like this or?
So I'm pretty active, but then I became more diligent.
You became more diligent.
Good.
Okay. What motivated you to do that, by the way?
This book, Younger Next Year.
Yeah, but what motivated you to read the book?
Oh, it was given to me by my brother-in-law, who is a very avid aerobic
Got it.
Person.
So you had a gym rat. So you had a gym rat who then said, you've got to do more and start to exercise more. That's okay. By the way, exercise is a team sport. And so I think that's there's studies have shown, study after study, that when you do exercise with other people or you're accountable to other people for exercise, you're much more likely to exercise. So I want to congratulate you on that. You exercise morning, afternoon, evening. When do you exercise?
I'm retired, so not real early in the morning, but I don't like the heat. Uh-huh. So, usually in the morning.
By the way, what's real early?
So my brother-in-law exercises before he goes to work.
And
so
that's
he's
what
up
time?
4:30.
4:30 in the morning.
He gets up to get his workout in.
4:30 in the morning defines
so
a gym rat.
He's at the he's actually at the cross country ski course at 5:15 a.m.
Gosh,
he's diligent.
Yes, you know what? Diligent. We'll leave that as it is. I'm a night hawk. 4:30 in the morning.
4:30.
About it's more just... like 9 or 10.
Yeah,
out there and. I'm good about doing, 40 minutes, 45, while I pushed myself up to trying to do an hour.
Well, you're doing a great job. And I don't think your RLS is from that because you're doing it in the morning, your restless leg syndrome. A couple of suggestions, because there are medications which you can use, but you don't want to use them if you don't have to.
No.
What I would recommend, a couple of things. Number one, ankle stretching exercises can make a huge difference for RLS, restless leg syndrome.
Oh.
We'll put them on our website, ZorbaPastor.org. But stretching before you go to sleep in a very gentle way can make a big difference. That's number one. Number two, warm milk. Believe it or not, warm milk, 4 ounces of warmed milk before you go to sleep, has been shown to help people get to sleep. So mother was right or grandma was right. Warm milk, maybe blackberry brandy would also work, but I think I would just...
Can I add some cocoa powder and sugar to the warm milk?
Absolutely. It is the warm milk with little cocoa powder would be just delicious. And the third thing is, how heavy are your blankets?
Oh, not heavy.
Because they should be lightweight, because a heavy blanket will produce spasm, discomfort, calf spasm, and because the weight goes, especially if you're lying up, the weight can go on your foot and can cause spasm within the ankle. So look at that. And some people actually put something called a leg cot underneath their blanket so their legs can move freely. So you don't want to be in a tight bed. You know, some people make tight sheets and a tight bed.
Do you
do that?
No.
No, okay, because that's the other thing. So stretching exercises, we'll put it on our website. Warm milk with a little cocoa in it would be delicious, and a light blanket, and that can make a difference.
Thank you so much for that. Thank you.
You're most welcome.
And before we let you go, I'm in the market for an exercise coach. Do you have any openings? You sound like you could really inspire somebody.
You could read this book.
All right, I guess if I have to. Thank you so much for calling.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Now, people hear Zorba restless leg syndrome, and they think, oh, that doesn't sound so bad. But this is something that really, it can ruin your sleep in particular if you have this.
You know, anything that disturbs your sleep is always bad. I mean, we feel like we want to go to sleep like we did as a baby or as a teenager, where we hit the pillow, we're asleep for 8 to 10 hours. But frankly, as we get older, our sleep is more fragmented. And so making sure we can get to sleep quickly and well makes a difference. And restless leg syndrome can ruin a person's life. It's very uncomfortable. There are pills and medications, but lifestyle is always the first choice.
If you have a question for Dr. Zorba, call in now at 1-800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. Before we take a short break, Zorba, it's time for another edition of Disagreeing with the Doc.
Disagreeing with the Doc.
The following email came to us from a listener named Jerry from Sayville, New York. She writes, Dr. Zorba, I just found your show for the first time, and I'm really enjoying it.
Cool.
Let's just stop there.
Yeah, right. That's
it's not going to get any better than
Thank you very much. And...
Okay, and good luck to you. I'll go on. However, she writes, I heard your call-in listener who called about thumb pain. With all due respect, I think the best therapist to treat thumb pain would be an occupational therapist, not a physical therapist.
Oh, right.
OT equals occupational therapy. CHT equals certified hand therapist. So for hand issues, refer to an OT who has a CHT, not a PT.
Yeah, I lost
track there.
Well, actually, they're correct. Well, so we have physical therapy and occupational therapy, and the body can be divided up arbitrarily, you know, into that in terms of what people treat. But I think that therapist brings up a good point. It's often occupational therapy that works more with the hands and with the thumb. And so I stand corrected and thank them for that. And if you have hand pain, I think going a certified hand therapist. And let me give you one example. I've got some thumb pain at the base of my thumb, and I thought, what is this? I mean, I've got thumb pain. So I went to my doctor who did an x-ray, and I said, holy cow, look at this x-ray. I've got some arthritis in my thumb. Why should I have arthritis? I'm only 70 years old, almost. I shouldn't have arthritis there. I'm going to live to be 110. And then I thought, what am I going to do about it? I don't want to take drugs. I went to an OT.
Uh-huh.
I didn't go to a PT, so I stand corrected.
What everybody's wondering, is there some kind of turf war thing? Like, if a physical therapist starts working on my hand, are the OT thugs going to come along and
Absolutely.
Say, hey, that's occupational therapy turf?
There is no doubt about it. There's a turf war in medicine. No, they do volleyball. That's where their turf war is. They play volley. You know,
they settle it on the field of honor.
They settle it on the court.
Do you take issue with something Zorba said? Give him a digital thumbs down by posting on our Facebook page or send us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
More of your calls to come, as well as another interesting topic and our medical Mythbuster segment, all coming up on Zorba Pastor on Your Health from PRX, the Public Radio Exchange. Rob Ferret here, sitting in for Tom Clark with Zorba Pastor on Zorba Pastor on Your Health. Zorba, before we talk to another caller, a topic today on a decision made by the Drug Enforcement Administration.
Yeah, the DEA, in their infinite stupidity, and you can see what I think about this, decided
I think you're going to disagree with their decision.
Decided.
It's a hunch.
To keep marijuana on the same list as heroin and LSD. And as a result, federal funding to look at the study of marijuana is curtailed dramatically because the DEA says, well, there's not enough science behind it to move it off that list. But the fact is, there's not enough science behind it because the DEA keeps it on a Schedule 1 list, and therefore you can't get any scientific evidence on it. Meanwhile, we've got an explosion of the opioid epidemic for painkillers because people are in chronic pain, and we doctors, I am included in that, use more and more opioids that we know are bad. We have a number of people who are dying from opioid overdoses, and among other things, because we don't get a chance to actually study, scientists don't get a chance to study marijuana and see whether or not that will attenuate chronic pain. And marijuana is safer than opioids. Let's face it, you don't die from marijuana overdose. So the DEA has made a dumb decision.
So this is the Schedule 1 list. This is supposedly the worst of the worst.
Schedule 1 means that smoking marijuana is the same as injecting heroin. Come on, give me a break. Where did this come from? I mean, it came from political history, which we won't get into, where it was taken off the list and put into a Schedule 1. It should have never been there in the first place. It should be regulated in the same way many other drugs are regulated that have potential problems. There's no doubt about it. It can be habit-forming. Whether or not it can be addictive is a good question. But it certainly should be in the same realm as alcohol. But we should study it. We should find out whether or not it's worthwhile. Almost half the states in the country allow it to be used for medical uses. We don't know where its usefulness is because we can't study it because the DEA is dumb.
So if we took it off of Schedule 1, it would open the door for more research.
Well, if it goes off of Schedule 1, goes to a Schedule 2, then it can be studied like other drugs because it can be studied as narcotics. It can be studied in a number of pain things. Right now, it cannot be studied, so we can't see where its worthwhile is. And then we go on anecdotal information, which means, well, it worked for me. Well, frankly, double-blind, placebo-controlled trials are the best. You'll start to work with derivatives of marijuana that may not make you as stoned, but may be very helpful. We might have some patented drugs that come out of it. It can be a very useful thing.
So you're hoping they'll revisit this decision?
Well, they have to revisit the decision. I think there should be a hue and cry from the DEA that says, wait a minute, you said there's not enough science behind it. Well, dummies, there's not enough science behind it because you won't let science go on it. Let's get rid of that whole idea that marijuana is the same as heroin. It is not. It is the same as other drugs such as alcohol. We should treat it well so that we can study it and see if it's worthwhile for us.
If you have a question for Dr. Zorba, you can call in now at 1-800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. Back to our callers now with Racine, Wisconsin. Racine, hi.
Hi. I have a question for you, Dr. Zorba. I have a friend, a senior friend, who is 73 years old. She's been diagnosed with osteoporosis. She never had a DEXA scan. She doesn't really go to the doctor for checkups except the basic, you know, the basic consultations, blood tests, and whatnot. So she had been doing a little bit of research with her cousin, and the doctor had recommended that she take the 6-month injection, but that has a lot of side effects, and one of them is joint pain, and she's already experiencing joint pain. So I was wondering if you could give me some advice on what of the medications that are used to treat osteoporosis are known to have the least side effects.
So she had a densitometry examination. DEXA is shortened for that. And what did that show?
It showed that she has osteoporosis.
Okay, so she's got some osteoporosis. We know that. First question is, you know, that you want to ask about, is it mild? Is it moderate? Is it severe? Is she thin? Is she heavy? Is she thin or heavy?
She's heavy.
Okay, but a thin, white, smoking woman is more likely to have a fracture with osteoporosis than a heavy-set, non-smoking woman. Does she smoke cigarettes?
She did did for many years and finally quit about a year ago.
Okay, so she was a smoker because that's an increased risk. Does she exercise? Now, I might have my guess, but I'm not going to guess. The answer is she doesn't exercise.
Here's the deal. Mm-hmm. She was born an invalid, and she was
invalid
in a wheelchair.
Meaning what?
Meaning she couldn't walk.
Oh, okay.
So she was in a wheelchair for a number of years, and her mother searched high and low and found a physician who was able to perform surgery, and now she can walk, but it's very, very slow. Mm-hmm. She had other hip replacements about 10 years ago. Well, she's having pain with her hips and is trying to avoid another hip replacement.
So she doesn't walk very much, so weight-bearing exercise is very difficult for her to do. Weight-bearing exercise is good for that. You want to make sure she gets enough calcium. She should get, like, she has osteoporosis. I recommend that she get at least 1,500 to 2,000 milligrams of calcium a day, half from dairy products if she can do that. A container of yogurt is 400 milligrams, container of yogurt, two containers of yogurt, some cheese, and then some inorganic calcium such as Tums, the Tums 500 milligram tablets, one tablet twice a day, regular time. Make sure the calcium is up there. Now, the usual pill, Fosamax, is usually very well tolerated. Very simple pill. You take it once a week on an empty stomach, 30 minutes before, you know, you don't want to eat for 30 minutes on there. Many, many people tolerate it that well. That is the standard. The injection has more side effects, but and it's a different medication. It's in the same class. It's easier for some people than taking the pill. And I usually only recommend it for people who do not tolerate the pill. Now, I practice. I have a lot of people with osteoporosis. Guess how many people a year I recommend the injection. Go ahead. Make a guess.
I have no idea. Three?
No. Go ahead. Less. Less than three.
One.
Maybe one.
Wow.
In other words, I rarely, rarely use the injection because I tell people the way you take the Fosamax, which is a generic, by the way, and is cheap, get up in the morning before you brush your teeth, take the pill, swallow the pill, brush your teeth. By the time you go downstairs or if you're on in a ranch, before you go in the kitchen and have your coffee, the pill has been there for 15, 20 minutes and have that. Because the big issue with Fosamax is some people have some GI distress. It is 5% of the population. That's the medication I recommend.
All right. Okay. Sounds like you have a plan of attack.
Keep up the good work. Rob brings up an important point. You are part of her team.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You're welcome. Thanks for your call.
Okay, Zorba, it's time again for our Medical Mythbusters segment. Today's email is from a listener named Dave in Wisconsin. He writes, "Dear Dr. Pastor, an old neighbor of mine was one of the young Navy men shipped to the South Pacific during World War II. He said soon after leaving the California coast, he started feeling queasy."
Shocking.
Makes sense, on a ship, no surprise. So he asked an old salt who wasn't affected what he did. And the old salt, this old Navy guy, I guess, told him to take...
By the way, old might have been 35.
Right, because he's a young guy. He's a young guy in World War II. Yeah.
We pictured the old salt on a ship to be somebody who's like Popeye.
Yeah, right? No, this could be the 30-year-old, yeah. So the old, or possibly 30-something, salt told him to take a bit of orange peel and chew on it. My friend said that from that time on, he never was plagued by motion sickness, even though he had many, many hours in small landing craft. Have you ever heard of this remedy for motion sickness?
I have heard of this remedy and other remedies, chewing either an orange peel, lemon peel, lime peel, or grapefruit peel.
So citrus and, peel.
Well, it's something about citrus. It may be the smell. It may be the zest as a smell. It may be that then changes the way your brain functions and thinks about the balance mechanisms. You know how it is when you're nauseous, or you're getting nauseous, you've got to get your eye on the horizon sometimes to help you. There's a big mental component. And the answer is, this is not a myth. This indeed may work.
Wow. So next, and I'm prone to a little motion sickness.
Are
even
you?
Just winding roads and hills.
Winding roads? Well, you know what you're going to have to have. You're going to have to
some orange peel.
Put a little Ziploc bag or maybe some Tupperware and just take some. And, you know, my father used to chew on cigars in the car. Maybe your kids
would find,
hey, Dad's not puking in the car anymore because he's chewing on those lemon peels.
Cigars. And everybody else is feeling sick from the cigars. It's a terrible plan. I'm going to stick with the citrus peel. Do you have a possible myth for Zorba? He's always happy to peel back the curtain on it.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I got to stop. Just post to our Facebook page or send it along in an email to
Zorba@WPR.org.
O-R-G. 1-800-462-7413 is the number to call. That's 1-800-462-7413. Now we welcome a caller from Helena, Montana. Hi.
Hi. I have a question about an annoying habit I've developed over my entire life. I've always cleared my throat. I feel like I have a lot of extra phlegm in the back of my throat. Recently in my life, so this has been going on my whole life, but recently I have developed just a little bit of really mild heartburn and acid reflux. So I started taking, I think it's Zantac, but I take the generic ranitidine. And I noticed the first time I took ranitidine that my throat clearing, which had been with me forever, was greatly reduced. And so then when my heartburn got better and my acid reflux kind of went away, I stopped taking it. My throat clearing reflex or the extra phlegm seemed to come back. And so I've noticed this now maybe over the last 5 years that it seems to be really consistent. And I wondered if you can maybe disentangle whether there's a connection between the two or whether it's just an accidental relationship.
I'll tell you and me both, pal, because I, for a while here at Public Radio, people would know I was coming down the hall from hearing my throat clearing. I didn't even know I was doing it. So this is not just you. So Zorba, what do you think about his
throat clearing? You and me three.
You too.
You and me three. So gastroesophageal reflux disease, GERD, the acid that's in our stomach, when our esophagus is not quite, the sphincter is not quite as tight as it should be, the little acid comes up, can go into the lungs, into the back of the throat, it produces mucus. And years ago, many years ago, back in the days that Bill Clinton was president, I developed vocal cord nodules. Don't smoke cigarettes. I don't chew tobacco. Went to my friendly ENT doc, and he said, look, they're nodules. The typical thing we do for nodules is remove them and see if they're cancer. He said, you know, I just went to this conference that talked about GERD, and GERD can actually, this acid, can cause the nodules. You don't smoke. Why don't we do this first? And I didn't want these nodules removed. And lo and behold, when I take the medicine, you know, that goes away. The clearing of the throat is caused by acid, and it can be a lifetime issue. So, wait, I want to get it straight. What are you taking something now, or you're not taking something now?
I'm not taking anything right now, but
why not?
Because I kind of just try to, mm-hmm. I try to avoid as many medications as I can. Although yeah. I'm not at all afraid or anything like that.
So
to take medication.
The answer to this are the medications. That's the answer. It's very hard.
Okay.
It's hard to treat it without medications. Now, the old-fashioned treatment was when you sleep, put your bed on blocks so it's 6 inches higher, so that when just the head, so that you're a little bit on an angle, and so the acid won't go up at night. That's when it tends to go up. It'll go down. Try putting the bed on blocks and see what your wife says. She'll say, I feel like I'm falling down. It does not make for good sleeping. And you know, if mama ain't happy, I ain't happy. That's what happens
That's right.
in our house. So the two basic drugs are either the H2 blockers, which are such as Zantac, ranitidine, which is Pepcid, another drug in that class, Pepcid, or the proton pump inhibitors, which are omeprazole under the name Prilosec. Those are the two basic drugs that work. The omeprazole tends to be a little bit more. And what I do is I used to take it every day, and sometimes I take it every day, and sometimes I just take it as needed, and you can figure that out. But I wouldn't stop it. These drugs are miracle drugs.
Do people know you're coming because they hear that throat clear?
Yeah, well, it's, in fact, I think I learned it from my father, and my brother and I both have the exact same habit. So I'm going to try to see if I can be the one to break the
There
mold.
It is, to break that. And it is partially habit and partially acid, because two of my kids also have exactly the same thing. So part of it is really due to it's not a tick, which would be a habit that would be sort of an unconscious habit. Part of it is really from the acid. But both of these drugs work. Find the one that works for you. Take it as needed. Do not be concerned. I do not believe in any of the long-term side effects from either drug, although the omeprazole has some questions. I don't believe in the silly websites that say it can cause dementia. I think lack of doing crossword puzzles, I don't do them, can cause dementia. So.
I think so, too.
All right. Good luck. I hope that helps.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And Zorba, same boat. I had reflux. Mm-hmm. I take medication. Yeah. And I also heard of therapy, and I kind of just put it into mm-hmm. practice for the yeah. habit side of it, mm-hmm. of breaking yourself mm-hmm. of that
so
habit.
So what do you do?
When mm-hmm. you're going to clear your throat, mm-hmm. you, and this is annoying.
Okay.
Hum. And that gets that tickle out. Or drink, you know, take a drink of water. Or swallow. Do things instead of clearing your throat, and that's supposed to reduce aggravation and break the habit.
So let me get this straight. If I'm in the room with the patient, and I feel like clearing my throat, which would the patient would find acceptable.
Right.
Instead, I should hum. What do you think they would say if I started humming in the middle of the conversation?
That Zorba
with my
is
patient.
Such a smart guy. He's not irritating his throat by clearing it all the time.
He's humming.
He's
humming.
He's probably a singer, a great singer.
It may
singer.
Work for public radio, but I don't think it would work for a doctor in an office.
All right. Well, try it. It's the only one way to double-blind test. Hum with some patients, don't hum with others. That's only half.
What are you supposed to hum? Is there like a song?
Yeah, 1812 Overture. You got to do the whole thing, beginning to end. Or Wagner. One of those two-day Wagner operas usually does the trick. You can't sleep in there. Thanks so much for your call. Before we head out, Zorba, let's tackle an email question from a listener named Vince from Hamburg, New York. He writes, "Hello, doctor. I enjoy your column and your radio show every week. Thank you for creating them. Your column recently pointed out an important relationship between food and exercise. However, it left me asking the question, at what point does my caloric intake just meet my metabolic needs, sitting, working, functioning, and become excess? It would be useful for people to realize that after that Big Mac at lunch, they have satisfied their caloric requirements for the day, minus exercise, and they are now in an excess situation. Hey, maybe an idea for an app."
Well, it would be a good app. And, you know, there are a number of apps like Lose It and others where you calculate exercise. You can go to the website, the NIH website. What's interesting is that your brain uses your brain is an energy soak. 20% of your metabolic needs at any particular time actually go to your brain. Your brain is incredibly active, takes a lot of energy. You know, it's different depending on what you're doing, what your weight is, those metabolic things. But I think he brings up a good point.
So if I can slow my brain down, I won't need to eat as much.
That's right.
So
just
more TV
more
watching.
More sleep, less thought.
I don't like the way this is going. Maybe I'll think more and eat more. Thank you so much for that email. If you have a question for Zorba, he's always happy to help. Just post it to our Facebook page or send it along in an email to
Zorba@WPR.org.
If you missed anything during the show or just want to download our show podcast, visit us on the web.
At ZorbaPastor.org or, of course, through Facebook.
And don't forget, you can call us anytime at 800-462-7413. Zorba Pastor on Your Health is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is not intended as a medical diagnosis, so please do check with your doc. Our executive producer is Carl Christensen, and our technical director is Brad Kohlberg. Our theme music is by Leo and Ben Sidran. For Zorba Pastor, I'm Rob Ferret, sitting in for Tom Clark, asking you to join us on the next Zorba Pastor on Your Health.
Copies of today's show are available through the radio store at 800-747-7444. Ask for program number 0916Z. More information on Zorba, his clinic, and healthy living, including heart-healthy recipes, podcasts, and show archives, is available online at zorbapastor.org.